So the reading this morning is from Mark chapter 5, verses 24 to 34. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Amen. I'd like to introduce Regina now. Regina and Verdon are part of New Life Church over many years. I can't remember how many, but nine? Yeah, about 9 years. And have a ministry to the Kurdish community up in sort of Enfield, Wood Green area. Sadly, the move here was just a little bit too far for them to stay involved with us here and with that ministry. But over the years, we've had it's been lovely to sort of share with them and share their relationships with some of the Kurdish people that we've got to know, some of whom we really want to keep in touch with. But let me introduce Regina to you now. Regina, would you come forward? Look at that. Fantastic. And let's pray for Regina now. I know it's good, isn't it? It's lovely getting a round of applause as you. Let's just pray for Regina now. Holy Spirit, we pray, would you come? Lord, it's your word that we're looking for this morning, Lord God. And I know that Regina has diligently sought you for this word she's bringing to us this morning, Lord. So we pray for your anointing upon her, Lord Jesus, as she shares your precious word with us this morning, Lord. We pray, would you speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus? Would you challenge and stir us? Would you nourish and feed us through your word this morning, Lord? Pray that Regina too will be blessed and nourished as she shares this morning.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you, everybody, for having us, or me, today. It's such a privilege to be here in this new home, beautiful, beautiful home that God has provided for you, and to meet some new family members, and so wonderful to see the old face. It's not that you're old, but you know what I meant. You see, I was praying, yes, during the week and asking God, because it's such a familiar story in the Bible, such a familiar encounter. I'm sure you have heard this story loads of times, me too. And it's a challenge to bring anything new, but praise God, the Holy Spirit is always brings something new. But I had a fancy theme for my preaching, and I was praying, and I said, "God, what do you really want me to share? At least one sentence, something, a word that is really relevant for us here today." And God just changed my fancy title, and he just said, "Don't give up." And that's my, kind of message from God for you. Don't give up. Whatever you are going through, don't give up. And as Bob prayed today, read Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34, that's what I'm going to be talking about. Don't give up. But honestly, I am not an Irish woman. I'm from Brazil. But I'm married to an Irish man. And if my 20 minutes are up, just put your hands up, because I learned to talk a little bit more since I got married to him. Sorry, honey. I'm serious. No, 20 minutes, just put your hands up. Anyway, let's go back to the Mark chapter 5. The emphasis of the Gospel of Mark is to show Jesus as the servant king, as we all know. The servant who came to do the will of God or the will of the Father until the end. And Mark presents Jesus as this triumphant, victorious, almighty servant. A servant who has authority over everything. The servant of God in which there is no situation or problem too difficult for him to solve. In this gospel, Jesus appears always in action. I don't know if you notice that. He moves from one miracle to the other. Mark is not very much interested in the teaching. It's more in the miracles of Jesus. And here in Mark 5, we see exactly that. Jesus was in the region of the Gerasenes, I think. Here, where he had set a man who was possessed by a legion of demons. After healing the possessed man, Jesus came back to the other side of the great lake, Galilee. Immediately, a large crowd gathered around him. Then a very important man, Jairus, one of the synagogue rulers, came asking Jesus to come to his house as his young daughter was dying. So Jesus set off for Jairus' house, and the great crowd followed him, pressing round him. It was at this point that a sick woman appeared in the scene in verse 25. She was a woman with no name, no money, and no place in society. She was also a woman in great suffering. So she came to Jesus. And as she met Jesus, she was healed in three different ways. Firstly, she was healed physically. Her body was healed immediately. Verse 25 and 26 says that she had been ill for 12 years. But during that time, she did everything she could to get better. She spent all her possessions, as we heard, on doctors who made her condition worse instead of better. Have you been there? Hoping and things get worse instead of better. For 12 long years, she had her hopes and expectations of being healed crashed down again and again and again. She was probably, I would be, but she was probably tired, weak, and scared to hope for healing so she wouldn't be disappointed yet again. But something changed. Verse 27, as you see in the Bible, tells us that she heard about Jesus. I wonder, what did she hear about Jesus? What did she hear about Jesus that made her act in such a strong faith and determination? What changed? Maybe she heard people talking about that the Jesus who fed thousands with 5 loaves and 2 fish was in town. Or Jesus who was the one who gave the sight back to the blind, was back in town. Or Jesus was the one who set the demon-possessed men and women. Or was the Jesus who raised the dead back to life. Maybe she heard that was the Jesus who commanded the raging sea and the wind to be quiet. Maybe she heard that the same Jesus made the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak again. Amen. We don't know exactly what she heard, but what she heard about Jesus made the flame and the power of faith and hope to flicker in her heart again. As Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I want to remind you today about the fame and the power of our Savior Jesus. He is the same today as he was yesterday. And he'll be the same forever. Never forget that, whatever you're going through. He is the same. There is no lost cause. No lost cause with Jesus. He can do the impossible to us today too. Amen? So I want to encourage you, to encourage one another with this truth. And don't be silent. Talk to others about what Jesus has done in your life. So the flame of faith will be strong in their hearts too. After 12 long years suffering from a cruel illness, this woman left home or wherever she was with one thing in mind. If I only touch his clothes, I will be healed. If I only touch his clothes. She came to see Jesus secretly. She forced herself through the great crowd and approached him from behind. Finally, she was able to touch Jesus' clothes. Even the great crowd wasn't a big obstacle for her. She touched Jesus' clothes and immediately her suffering stopped. She was healed. She was freed. Hallelujah. We have to continue believing that Jesus is more than able to heal today. He hasn't changed, has he? He has told us to believe and to pray. So we have to. One day, Verdun and I, we were visiting a Kurdish friend. As you heard Bob saying, that's our ministry. We work with the Kurdish people. And we are visiting a lady who became a very close friend. And she was suffering with many illness in her body. And she was taking loads of tablets and painkillers for different illness. And she couldn't walk properly because she had pain, terrible pain in her knees. Anyway, we, with our little faith, we took the opportunity to tell her about Jesus' love for her as we were in her house. And she prayed with us, accepting Jesus as her Savior. But then we prayed for her body. We prayed asking Jesus to heal her. And immediately she jumped off the chair and she ran round and round of the living room, punching the air and said, "Jesus, I love you. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah." You see, we don't know, do we? And we don't understand how God's healing work. We don't know. We can't tell. No, there is no form. We don't know. But one thing we know, he's able to heal. And we have to keep believing. And we have to keep praying and pressing on. I don't know your needs, what you are going through, but the Lord knows them. I just encourage you to come to him in faith and expectation that he's more than able to help you. He's more than able to heal you in any areas of your life. Don't allow the crowd of unbelief, disappointment, fear to get between you and Jesus. Fight your way through and touch the hem of his garment. Amen. The second way this woman was healed was emotionally. She was healed socially. Can you imagine this woman's mental health was like? Because of the kind of illness she had, this woman, by law, would have been separated from everyone. According to Moses' law, she was considered unclean. And everyone and everything she would touch would become unclean. For 12 long years, this woman couldn't go to the temple to pray or to sacrifice to God. For 12 long years, she was deprived of human contact or close human contact. For 12 long years, there was no hugs, no touches, no social life. Throughout this pandemic, for 18 months, we were deprived of some social interaction. And we have seen what that social isolation have done to the mental health of many, haven't we? But this poor woman had been in social isolation for 12 long, painful years. Her hopes and her social skills must have been crushed to bits. But somehow, she found the courage to face the crowd. Verse 29 tells us that as she touched Jesus' clothes, immediately she was free from her suffering. The King James Version described her illness as a plague. Well, her plague stopped. Hallelujah. That's the power for Jesus. She was probably hoping to leave the crowd secretly and unnoticed, the same way she entered the crowd. But Jesus noticed that what happened and stopped walking. Then he asked a question that puzzled everyone, especially his disciples. Who touched me? His disciples tried to explain that everybody was jostling him. But Jesus kept looking around, waiting for someone to come forward. And finally, this woman came forward. Trembling fear. Why fear? Why fear? She should be jumping for joy, shouldn't she? As she was being healed, as so many others were, you know, jumping for joy when they were healed by Jesus. But for this woman here, by law, she should be stoned to death for being there in the crowd. The great crowd could have killed her. She shouldn't be there. That wasn't the place for her. She was an unclean woman after all. But Jesus stopped for her. And she fell at Jesus' feet. This unnamed, unnoticed woman was now in the spotlight. She was being given the platform to speak to a large crowd. Everyone had to stop to listen to her as Jesus allowed her to speak. Even Jairus, remember Jairus? The leader of the synagogue, desperate there to take Jesus home to solve his own problem, a big problem, as his daughter was dying. He had to stop. And Jairus now knew that that woman, or the woman, had been healed from her affliction. Now she could go back to the temple to offer her sacrifice to God for her cleansing. Jesus had reintroduced her back into society. Beautiful. Before, she had only heard about Jesus and what Jesus had done for others, which gave her faith to come and touch him for her own problems. However, now she was the one testifying about what Jesus has done for her. Hallelujah. Amen. How beautiful. So Jesus wants to heal you and I, so we can be a channel of healing to others as well. Some of you know, well, some of you, yeah, know my story. How I got married, for those who don't know me, first time at 17, to someone who was unfaithful and sometimes violent. You also know that it was through the suffering and despair that I met Jesus. But before I met Jesus, I was 7 months pregnant with my second son when I discovered that my husband had got another young woman pregnant too. She worked for my next door neighbor. I was devastated. I was humiliated and so ashamed. I left my husband for a while, but we got back together because of family pressure. A few weeks later, I had my handsome baby boy, Marcelo. Some of you met him. Then 3 years later, I accept Jesus as my savior. But later, we moved over 1,700 miles to the south of Brazil. So I never saw Jefferson, my husband's other son. Then one day I was praying when God spoke to me. He asked me to go back to my town to bring my husband's son to live with us. The young boy was living with his grandmother. I have to confess that it wasn't easy for me. It brought great pain back, but the Lord helped me to forgive my husband and the girl involved in such betrayal. I spoke to my husband, who wasn't a believer, and I told him everything God told me to do, and he agreed. I phoned the boy's mother and grandmother, and they all agreed. I then traveled together with my young sons, almost 3,500 miles round trip by bus, to obey God and to bring Jefferson to live with us. I taught him about Jesus. I took him to church, and he gave his life to Jesus at the age of 6. And my husband also gave his life to Jesus almost at the same time. Praise God. Jefferson was with us for 6 months when his father, my husband, drowned in a boating accident. Jefferson was with us for 6 months only. We were all devastated. I was left with 3 boys to look after. And in the middle of my grief, my mourning, my pain, and my confusion, I was trying to help the boys with their pain and loss. Then Jefferson's grandmother phoned me saying that she'd like to have her grandson back. Of course, I had to, you know, to allow him to go to his nana, to his legal guardian. I was only his stepmother. I only knew him for such a short time. And I have to confess that I was very upset with God. As we do, don't we? We always get upset with God for some reason. But I asked God, why? Why you ask me to go bring him, this young boy, to live with us? And then his father now is dead. Why was the point of all this, God? Why? Then one day, God graciously answered me. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But he answered me. And his answer made me understood how much God loves us, cares for us, and he wants our whole being be healed. And he said, I asked you to bring Jefferson to stay with you because I wanted him to know that he had a father who took him in, a family who loved him and cared for him enough to open their house and hearts for him. I wanted him to see my love for him in action. Beautiful. And this for a young boy. How much he loves us. How much God loves us and wants to heal us completely. God wants to heal us, our emotions too. Do you need to be healed in your emotions? Do you want to be used by God to bring healing to others? Because he wants to heal you and he wants to use you to, for his glory. Amen? Finally, the third way this woman was healed was spiritually. Verse 34. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Go in peace here in the Greek means go into peace. Go into a permanent peace. After her suffering 12 years of misery, the gift given to her was a permanent one, was a permanent healing, a permanent peace. Amen. Just the way God does to us. The gift he gives us is permanent. He doesn't take it away. And this peace comes only from a place of intimacy with our Lord Jesus. He is our peace. A peace that's real and solid. And no one and nothing can take it away from us. Amen. Hallelujah. The first word this woman heard from Jesus was daughter. It's, apparently is one of, the first time Jesus used that word to someone directly, daughter. Jesus spoke to her as a father to his child. How reassuring, how comforting, how beautiful it was. Such a word washed all her fears away. And today, maybe you have to listen to that. He's calling you daughter. Come back to me. Son, come back to me. Don't give up. Don't give up. You are not made to give up. This woman fell at the feet of Jesus in reverence and in worship, knowing now in her heart that he was the anointed one, the Messiah. Listen, Jesus will always stop for us. He's never in a hurry. Never in a hurry. Maybe now is time for us to stop our business, to become closer to him, to know him deeper. To have God's blessings, healings, is amazing and humbling. But to have intimacy and to know him deeply is the greatest blessing we can have. Amen. And if you don't know the peace called Jesus, invite him now into your heart. And you will receive his forgiveness. You will receive his salvation. You will receive his healing. And you receive his wonderful peace for eternity. Amen. Now I want to pray for us. And I don't know about you, but if you are one of the ones who is thought about giving up, it's too tough. I was talking to a friend another day, and I was just, rejoicing with her as she saw God accomplishing a promise that he had given to her 20 years ago. She had to wait a long time, and she went through a lot. And I was just rejoicing with her when we saw the promise. I said, praise God. And she told me, Regina, yes, it's wonderful. I can see God's promise now. But I can tell you, I crossed the line on my knees and, crawling because it was painful. All these years of waiting was very painful. And I had lots of scars emotionally. And I said, but praise God, you didn't give up. Praise God, you crossed the line. Praise God, doesn't matter what. We all have scars, don't we? Emotionally in the bodies. But don't give up. Cross the line. Cross the line. Wait, and God will fulfill the promises in your life. Let's pray. Amen. And if you want to pray afterwards, come here and look. We pray and Bob pray for you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you are with us through anything and everything. We are never alone. Thank you that you are never in a hurry. You're always there, ready to stop for us, to carry us, Jesus. Oh, Lord. It hasn't been easy, Lord. It hasn't been easy for so many, Lord. But praise God, Lord, that we are here. We are here, at your feet, Jesus. We have nowhere else to go. And we just pray, Father, come and give us strength. You said that your joy is our strength. And as we are here together, Father, worshiping your name, because we know that your joy is our strength. Thank you for being our strength, not letting us go, Lord Jesus. In times of despair, in times of great pain and suffering, you were always there, Father, holding our hands faithfully. And I pray today, Lord, that you strengthen each one of us, our brothers and my sisters. Help us, Jesus, to cross that final line, knowing that you are right there waiting for us as well as you walk with us until we get there. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. What else can we say? thank you for your faithfulness for us. In Jesus' name, bless us, Lord. Bless each one of us, our families. We give you thanks, honor, and glory for your great love and great mercy for us. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray for healing, Lord, into our bodies. I pray for our emotional healings, Lord Jesus, so we can be, Lord Jesus, in peace with you, in peace with ourselves, Lord, and walk this beautiful walk of faith that you have called us into. Bring others to know you as this wonderful, amazing Father and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.